Blog Talk Radio.
What is up, everyone? Welcome to the Cave Show with PLR. It is Thursday, affectionately known as Friday Eve, and I am big time looking forward to spending a little bit of time with you today. We've got a lot to get into, a lot to unpack today. First off, hope things go well for Danny Ainge after suffering a heart attack. Hopefully he gets back to it. They expect a full recovery. So let's only keep hope and prayers for the Ainge family. What else is going on? Well, I don't know. The evil empire came into Phoenix and left empty-handed. And don't talk to me about rosters. Don't talk to me about the injury list. Don't talk to me about any of that crap. Because if they had won, you wouldn't have said anything. The evil empire got Death Starred. Plain and simple. He got Death Starred. Joel Embiid. Is he healthy? Can you trust him? I like how I start out a cappella and then the music just kind of smooths its way in. Like I said, this is the Cave Show, and we are brought to you by the one, the only Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. 4991 Alma School, to be exact. Get down there and let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off of your cigar purchase. It's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, now serving beer and wine. You become a club member, get a locker that backs up to a humidor, and never ever worry about your sticks going bad. Watch one of the many televisions they have. There's sports on all the time. So get down there and check them out. Again, that's Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco. Let them know that PLR sent you. They will take 10% off your cigar purchase. There are some restrictions, but get in there and check them out, and we'll let you know at that time. Thank you for joining the Cave Show with PLR. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show. All calls made via the Kerry Lackey Law Line, 917-889-7828. 917-889-7828. You heard the topics we have. If you have something else you want to bring up, please do so. Like I said, the evil empire. Dun, 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 dun. They left winless. I'm going to hit you with a fact. Someone told me yesterday, as I was sitting there waiting to interview Torrey Lovello in the pool of everybody else, Yankees haven't won a series from a team with a winning record. Guess what? They still haven't. Like I said, number 917-889-7828. Do have a caller online. Thank you for your patience. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. Who do I have on the horn with me?
Very funny, Paul. Very funny.
You don't like my singing? Dun, 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 ah. Dun, dun, dun. I thought it was timely, Lou.
I know you're enjoying it. Yeah, I saw some of the game yesterday while I was getting a haircut at the barbershop, and they had the game on. And I gotta give you credit. You know, you held up against us, and congratulations. But we had a milestone this week with the Yankees, though. Sabathia,
yes,
3,000 strikeout.
Yes, and that was very, very cool. And I'm going to tell you something. That is one nice person to speak to. He was so congenial. What they did with him after the game was, instead of us having to all come into the Yankees clubhouse, they actually put him in the main interview room, where actually Torrey Lovello does all his interviews. And I don't know if you could see it from there, but they put this tiny little Yankee banner up. It didn't stretch far enough so you could still see all the Diamondback stuff. But he's just one classy guy. And there's a couple stats that he didn't even know, a couple milestones he didn't even know he reached, like, he's only the third left-hander to have 3,000 strikeouts, and he's only the third black American pitcher to have 3,000. So he's in an incredible company either way you put it. And that didn't sure up a Hall of Fame for CeCe Sabathia, I don't know what will.
And he's now the 17th pitcher to do this, but only the third one as a left-hander.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Third lefty, third black American player. That's it. That's the company he's in.
Well, I'm left-handed.
So, oh, well, how many do you have to get to 3,000?
3,000.
So divide by two, that makes it,
you know, good for me since I'm left-handed, and you know, only about 1 in 8 people, you know, are left-handed. So, you know, I find it a moral victory.
I thought you were going to divide by two and carry to three.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, switching gears to hockey, what happened to the Islanders? I mean, they cruise along, beating Pittsburgh in a 4-game sweep, and now it looks like they're about to get swept by the Blue Jackets. Go figure.
It changes like that. Look, going into the hockey playoffs, that we all think would win the cup anyway. It was a foregone conclusion, and we knew, everyone just knew who it was going to be, and then they get swept out. So there's nothing that should surprise anyone at this point.
No, so, anything can happen, of course, in hockey, but, you know, you go and sweep one opponent, and then someone else comes and is about to sweep you.
Yeah. Yep. Just like that. Just like that.
Wonders never cease.
Well, but there's no real home ice, I believe. And I think we talked about this the other day. You can't feel comfortable at home in hockey. There's, for whatever reason, it just doesn't translate the same in that sport.
Obviously, it doesn't. I mean, there have been some exceptions, of course. The Rangers in 94, Avalanche in 2001. Yeah, well.
Yeah, I mean, there's
so forth, you know.
Yeah, there's cases. And it's always good to be at home. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's not good to be at home.
No.
It's just not the same advantage that there is. Let me ask you a question, though. Off hockey subject, do you think that Philadelphia is giving Bryce Harper a fair shake out the box?
Not really. You know, they'd be a little rough on him too. You know, give him time.
Yeah,
it's a close race right now in the National League East between the Braves, the Phillies, and the Mets. So, but you know, I think Harper's gonna, you know, fit just fine now that we're 1 month past in the season. I think he's gonna start to come along reasonably well. So give him a chance. I think he's going to really bounce right back.
Yeah, you go out and your ticket sales spike when you sign this guy. I mean, they go through the roof. And everyone knows what he's capable of. Everyone knows what he's done. And it's just like, I don't know. I mean, as much as you got to believe that he feels a little bit of pressure. Because when you sign that type of contract, a lot of times you feel a little bit of pressure. But here's a guy that's coming out and he's busting his butt, and your team's in first place, and he's not hitting the way he wants to hit. Imagine what's going to happen when he does start to hit the way he hits and the way he's hit his entire career. So Philly, again, they're just being Philly. It honestly makes me wonder. I know that the Washington Nationals gave him probably one of the crappiest contract offers. They basically deferred money to his grandkids. That's how bad it was. And we understand that, and I understand why he walked.
Right. And you said the magic word, too.
Deferred?
Crappy.
Oh, crappy, yeah. But doesn't it almost make you think he would have been better off signing one of those 3-year deals out on the West Coast? Where he could have still probably recouped a lot of the money without having to go through this nonsense. Lou, I'm going to say it again, and I'm going to keep saying it, the only thing you commit to 10 years to is your spouse and your kids. Anything else you take as a grain of sand. And I just don't believe that as an athlete, with so many changes that can take place, you're in a bad spot for 10 years. They're in a bad spot for 10 years. It's the money to me, not the years. And maybe I'm wrong, but I'd rather take a little bit less for shorter, knowing that I'm going to recoup that money later. And his contract wasn't even that great of a contract monetarily. So, I mean, when you look at him, Trout, and Arredondo, he got the least amount per year. So I just don't know. But I think Philadelphia is being too much of Philadelphia, and they should give this guy a – they should literally give this guy a break.
Yeah, I agree. They're going to come around, though.
Oh, they'll be fine. They'll be fine.
Yeah, no question about it. Now, speaking of things that you might be over or not, what do you think with the series between the Warriors and the Rockets? Is this series over because since the Rockets are on 2-0? I say no. I say that now the Rockets are going home. I think they're going to make this a series, and they're going to make something out of it.
I thought the series was done before they played it. I don't think let me say it the way I've been saying it. Until you beat Golden State 4 times in 2 weeks, I don't believe anyone can beat Golden State 4 times in 2 weeks. Golden State only made the last game close because they turned the ball over 5 times in the fourth quarter. They don't turn that ball over, Houston doesn't make up those quick 12 points. And Golden State is a team that plays very well on the road because their antenna goes up even higher, and they're locked in even more. Now, Houston's going to get the burst of the fans, and they'll get a little bit more energy, and it's that infamous sustain their run and hang around and try to get the game. I just don't think Houston, talent-wise, is good enough to win both games in Houston. I could be 100% wrong, but I just don't believe so. I think Golden State will get at least one of those games in Houston, and that will effectively end the series. If they get game 3, then we definitely know it's over. If they get game 4, then maybe Houston has a little bit more fight. But again, I still think it's over. I don't think talent-wise, Houston matches up. I don't think schematically, when you rely on someone to do as much as you rely on James Harden to do, I think it's easy to defend them. Because there are times where he just, you know, dribble, 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 dribble. You can defend that in the playoffs. So, I think it's over. I think anyone that plays them, it's over. Like I said, until they get beat, I don't believe they can get beat.
So, in other words, Houston, we have a problem.
Houston's had a problem since for a while. Look, I'm not the biggest Mike D'Antoni fan because I don't think he makes good adjustments. I don't think he makes good adjustments when it comes to playoff basketball. I don't think that he adjusts for what the playoffs call for. I think his style is, this is my style. It's not working. So you know what? We're just going to do our style more. You know what I mean? I don't get that because it's proven that it hasn't worked. And that's just what Mike does. You know, we shot 33s. Well, you know what? We're going to shoot 40. Well, okay, then fine. We're going to shoot 50. Okay, then fine. We'll shoot 6. I don't think that works. And I don't think he makes the necessary adjustments to do something different from that. And I think that's what makes you'll see with Boston and Milwaukee. I'm glad that I can say this now. Milwaukee fans, don't at me. Stop messaging me. Stop texting me. And I say that all jokingly, of course, but. When I picked Boston to win in 6, I did that knowing that Boston's going to lose 2 games. I didn't pick them in 6 to say they're going to sweep them. And it honestly took an incredible quarter from Milwaukee, which they had. They had one great quarter, one great third quarter. And Kyrie was off. Tatum was off. Rozier was off. Horford was off. Everybody got miserable. And they won. So now let's come back to Boston. And remember, if Boston wins 2 games in Boston, it's over. They're not coming back.
Right.
So, and then when you jump over to Philly, I'm still going with Toronto for one big reason. Two words, Joel Embiid. That dude has to get treatment for like 18 hours just to be able to play. You don't think the longer these series stretch out, that's going to wear him down? I don't know. So give me those. But, yeah, to circle all the way back to your original question, yes, I'm 100% in the Warriors corner and thinking that this series is practically over. They win one of these games in Houston, and it's officially over at that point.
Well, I still stand by my decision, and I still think that Houston's going to make a game of it once they go home.
And they just may. Like I said, those fans in Houston are good fans. They're going to cheer. They're going to be loud. They hate Golden State. I just think that when you gear yourself up for something, here's the difference. They have one thing in mind. Be Golden State. If they go down 3-0 or they go down 3-1, and the way they lost last year, at some point, they're only human, it's going to creep in their minds, we just can't beat the team. No matter what you want to think positively, if they go down 3-1 or they go down 3-0, in the back of their minds, they're going to be thinking, we really just can't beat this team. And I don't believe they can. I don't believe as long as Mike D'Antoni is the head coach of a basketball team, with the stubbornness that he has and the unwillingness that he has to change a game plan up, I just don't see them winning.
I'll give you that.
About what now?
You heard about Danny Ainge, right?
Yeah, I was saying that at the top of the show. Prayers out to him and his family. It does look like he's going to recover. So prayers up to Danny Ainge and his family.
Well, that's certainly good news. I mean, at least he's going to make a, at least he's expected to make a full recovery. So at least it won't be, you know, that bad. But still, this is his second situation with a heart attack, though.
Yeah, it makes you think, how much longer is he going to stay in this position? Because this is and this is the one thing that Magic learned when you run basketball.
Yes.
And you know how everyone appreciates what Magic does and what Magic stands for and how good he was and he has the Magic smile and we get all that. But when you're a VP of basketball, it takes a lot of work. You don't sleep. You're always constantly thinking. You're always up for the next deal, the next this, the next that. You know, while your coach is in your ear thinking short term, you have to be thinking long term. It's a whole different ball game, and it's very stressful.
Well, listen, any job can be stressful.
It can, but especially when you talk GM levels, though, or president of basketball operations, you're talking a whole different level. Because, like I said, coaches stress out, and coaches are usually stressing about the now. The GM has to balance the now for the coach, the future for the team, and the money for the owners. So you got more on your plate. And now you also have to be out, and you got to be at you got to scout. You got to do this. You got to have a scout team. It's a lot. And if you're suffering heart attacks, maybe it's time for you to step back a little bit.
Yeah, which is exactly why I don't think Tyronn Lue should become coach of the Lakers, concerning what his health has been like the past few years.
Not only that, I don't think Tyronn Lue should be the coach of the Lakers. I think the Lakers have to find someone who can have the respect, obviously, of LeBron James, because they're all in on him. All the as Herm Edwards could say, they've casino blitzed him. All the chips in the middle of the table. But in saying that, you also have to find someone that can balance off the other guys. Because if you don't trade one of your young pieces and you sign another free agent and you still have these young guys and now you bring in a coach that is meant to cater to one person only, and which means you now have to fill in around that one person. As soon as we get close to the trade deadline, in the back of their minds, it's going to pop up. Well, this coach is LeBron's coach, not ours, so is he going to be looking to move us? Are they going to be looking to get rid of us? Here we go again. You have to get someone that has the respect of LeBron James, but you also got to get someone that can balance that and have his players have a comfort level and knowing that he's not just LeBron's coach, but he's their coach too. And that's going to be a hard find. And because Tyronn Lue, he is a good coach. I'm not knocking him. But because we know that he has that relationship, and yes, a lot of people say he balanced well, and you know he'll call LeBron out and all that stuff. Well, the players will have the trust that he's not just there because he was handpicked by LeBron James. And I think that's going to be the problem with them. And other coaching news, though, it looks like the Suns are getting close to hiring Monty Williams.
Right. The problem is LeBron thinks he's just more than just a player. He thinks he is a team. He thinks he's like a manager, owner. No, you're just a player, nothing more. So stop thinking you're in charge of the team, because let me tell you something, Buster, you're not.
Well, here's the problem, though, Lou. He always has been.
That's and ego.
Well, but that ego's been fed. Like, we could say people have big egos, but a lot of times you get big egos because people have fed egos. So in Miami, where he was, you know, he wanted a little bit more control, and they basically said to him, no. He goes back to Cleveland. When he got tired of Blatt, Blatt got gone. When he wanted Ty Lue, Ty Lue came in. When they drafted Wiggins, he wanted Wiggins gone. What happened? Wiggins left. He wanted Kevin Love in. What happened? Kevin Love came in. When he wanted a player signed, they signed that player. When he wanted J.R. Smith re-up, they re-up J.R. Smith. When he wanted, you know, so everything he wanted, he got. So when you elevate someone to that level, it's easy to believe that you have a little more say, and he does have a little bit more say because of who he is and because of what he's accomplished. Listen, if Paul George had gone to L.A. and LeBron James did, and Paul George said, you know, it'd be really cool if you guys could bring in another player or bring in the Brow, do you think they would have made it as known to the other players that Paul George wanted the Brow down there? He wanted Anthony Davis. Everyone's on a training block. No.
No.
They did that because LeBron is who he is. So, yeah, he has a big ego, but he also has that big ego because people have given in to his wants and his needs because of just not what he does on a basketball court. But you saw it. When he left Cleveland, downtown Cleveland died. When he came back to Cleveland, downtown Cleveland came back alive. So, economically, he does for you. A lot of times, you're going to because you're going to war on the plan too.
Uh-oh. I think your signal's breaking up, Paul.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, a little bit, but it's kind of breaking up.
Uh-oh. I want to do the Verizon thing, but can you hear me now?
I get it. All right, well, the dinner bell is going to be probably ringing soon anyway, so I'll just leave it at that, and we'll talk again tomorrow.
All right. Talk to you. Right. Have a good Thursday.
Go on.
And that's the thing with LeBron. It makes a good point. He's a player. Not just a player. He's just a player. He's surpassing just a player. LeBron left Cleveland. Cleveland died. Because no one was interested in Cleveland Browns football at that time. There was no Baker Mayfield, no OBJ, no Jarvis Landry. It was the same old Cleveland State Browns. And as much of a baseball city as it is, and as much as they get behind the scenes, let's be honest about something. Let's be real honest. Unless you're over the age of 55, baseball is season is way too long. So LeBron brought energy. When you bring that type of energy and you bring that type of economics, you're going to get what you want. Those are facts. Something I said to Lou, I think got you know, we went by kind of quick. Monty Williams is looking like he's going to be the head coach of the Phoenix Suns, in my opinion.
This is Elio Cobo with the Phoenix Suns, and I'm in the cave with PLR.
But in saying that, does he have a shot at the Philadelphia job if they lose and Brett Brown gets blown out? And if he did, would that be a better job? See, I think this is why the Suns have to act on Monty Williams now. If they allow Philadelphia, if Philadelphia loses, and they let Brett Brown go, and they allow Monty Williams to have a choice, it may not be a choice. So the Suns may have to do something that they've never thought of doing in a long time when it comes to coaches. Because they didn't do it with Hornacek. They definitely didn't do it with Lindsey Hunter before him. Then they didn't do it with Hornacek. They didn't do it with Earl. They didn't do it with Jay. They didn't do it with Igor. They may have to. Let me whisper this. They may have to pay a coach. One that has experience. They may have to give Monty $1 million more than he would get. Just to get him to say, okay, fine, look, I'm coming there, it doesn't matter. Sometimes an extra zero makes the pie a little sweeter. I'm just saying. So up shortly, we'll have some audio from Torrey Lovello, manager of the D-backs, joking about leading off Greinke, because he's hitting so well and he's hitting hot. It's actually kind of funny. I'll throw that up pretty soon so you guys can take a listen to it. And one story that I've just got to say before we jump out of here today, because it's actually a little funny. Now, I'm a capitalist. I am. Just a fact. I believe in equal things when equality is definitely called for, which is almost all the time, except when you're a capitalist. So if I make crappy lemonade and you make really good lemonade and my good lemonade sells, I shouldn't then make crappy lemonade just so yours sell too and we could all sing Kumbaya and, as they say in the movie, watch Ally McBeal. But there's a boycott that's been threatened. More than 200, I'm reading this straight from the four letter, more than 200 women's hockey players have announced they will not be playing in a professional league next season. They want to be paid more. They want the NHL to help them. Just like the NBA helps the WNBA out, they want NHL to help them. They want to apply pressure to the NHL, so the NHL helps them out. And look, let's be honest. I love the WNBA. I cover the Mercury. I think it's good basketball. I really, really do. But we all know they get helped by their partners over at the NBA. And some of the salaries that the WNBA players make is really some crappy money for what those ladies do. And they make a ton more money over in Europe, generally speaking. But with the Canadian League folding for women, the professional league they had in Canada, hence Canadian League, how do you put pressure on an entity to support you and help you financially if no one is coming to see your product to the point of one of your leagues is folding? How do you put pressure on someone to give you that type of relief when, in all fairness, no one is watching your product? I think that's going to be a tough one. I honestly, it's unfair for me to say because I don't watch a ton of hockey. Yes, I know I do sports, but as you can tell on the show, we really don't do a lot of hockey. But I didn't know there was a women's professional league. And I say more power to them. Make all the money you can make. But striking, if no one's going to watch a product, doesn't necessarily seem like the way to go. But what do I know? What do I know? The ASU versus the team in Southern Arizona game has been moved from Friday, November 29th, to Saturday, November 30th, to accommodate television viewers and watchers. And they know it's going to get a lot of eyes because to hell with Auburn and Alabama, to hell with Ohio State and Michigan, the Territorial Cup by far is the best rivalry in college football. It's just that simple. I'm just speaking the truth. And it's been exceptionally well the last 2 years because the Territorial Cup has ended up in Tempe, Arizona, and not in hell, the hell of Tucson. The Sports Cave, the Twitter, Instagram, book fan page, always with the K. That's how you get us on social media. You get us also online at thesportscave.com. Again, cave is always with the K. You can get me on the Twitter at PLR on sports. Until Friday, this is Friday's Eve. Thank you for joining us. This is PLR. This is the Cave Show. Everybody enjoy their night.